The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. What a wonderful truth to declare and to sing and to proclaim together that you have the power to set us free. And not just the power, Lord, the will and the desire and the loving kindness to do so. And you have done so in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have canceled the record of debt. You have made us alive in Christ Jesus. To those who are in Christ by faith, you have made us new from the inside out. You have given us life and hope and eternity to look forward to with you, where peace will rule and reign. And Lord, that is not lost on us. And so we pray that even today, as we are mindful of who you are, you would allow our hearts and our minds and our wills to be submissive to the beauty of the kingdom you are offering and the life that you give us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might walk in obedience to you and experience the fullness of joy that is awaiting for those who follow Christ. And Lord, we love you, and we are grateful that you are worthy of our praise, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to continue in our study through the Gospel of Mark. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 11, but it's a really unique morning. I mentioned that earlier. The first service has come and gone, and you will experience it as well, and we're excited to experience this together with you. So we will continue in Mark's gospel this morning, but I want you to know it's a little abbreviated, and that's on purpose. So last week, we were in Mark chapter 11, the first 11 verses. If you weren't here, I would highly encourage you to go listen to Austin McCallum teach that passage. He's our student pastor here. He did an excellent job of drawing our attention to this king who is humble and patient and worthy of our praise and faithful in every way. And I think your heart would be lifted up and encouraged if you took some time just to consider what was shared last week in those first 11 verses. You have this triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And he is hailed as the King of all kings. Hosanna, God save us. And that is exactly who he is. He is rightfully hailed as the King of all kings as he enters into Jerusalem in such humble means. But that's also because he has his heart, mind, and will set on the cross. And he is walking in obedience toward the cross in humility and patience and faithfulness and worthiness. And so there's this beauty of seeing Jesus as he enters into Jerusalem. And we're moving toward his final days in this gospel that Mark has given us. We're moving toward the end and the conclusion of his life and ministry here on this earth. But in the sequence we're in right now, you see the humble king stepping in, but he's stepping in with his heart set on what is ahead and on purpose. And today we're going to pick up in the rest of chapter 11 and at about 10 minutes. Okay, so here's the deal. The average adult listens, they say, for about 7 minutes. So good job, everybody. We're really killing it out there with our attention span. It's fascinating statistically that the average adult pays attention for about 7 minutes or retains what you say for about 7 minutes. That's really remarkable and probably should inform how we start to engage God's word together on a more regular basis. But today it does. So we're going to like stretch that 2 or 3 minutes, okay? And that means we're probably not going to unpack everything there is to unpack in the rest of chapter 11. Know this about Summit. We love teaching through books of the Bible. It's our heartbeat around here. We're going to take a little break for Advent season together and a little at the new year, and then jump back into the Gospel of Mark and finish the Gospel of Mark strong as we conclude the life and ministry of Jesus on this earth as Mark records in his gospel. So we're excited to do that. Today, we are in Mark's gospel. We are going to look at Mark 11, but maybe at a little higher flyover view than normal where we get to dive down in and study that. So it's a little rare for us, but it's attached to our desire for you this morning and an opportunity we have to continue to worship together in a unique way. So if you'll bear with me, a little unique morning in Mark 11, flying just a little over the end of this text to see what it is that I think Jesus is doing here that's really, really beautiful. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12. On the following day, so the following day after the entrance into Jerusalem, on the back of the colt where they are hailing him as the King of Kings, Hosanna, right? There is a beauty here to what has been happening already. But on the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. lest you think Jesus is not human. And seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who also is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you the authority to do them?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me." And they discussed it with one another. They said, "If we say from heaven, he'll say, 'Well, then why don't you believe me?' But if we say, if we shall say from man, they were afraid of the people, for they held that John was really a prophet." And so they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So, what can we grab today? This is what I think is important for us in this moment, just to consider in everything Jesus is doing. I don't think it's disjointed. It feels that way a little bit, but I actually don't think it is. And coming into Jerusalem with his disciples, he comes upon a fig tree that is not in season, but Jesus sees leaves on it. He still says, "Hey, there's no figs on you, and you're fruitless. You're not producing, so no one will ever eat fruit from you again." And he leaves it there, and all we know at that point is it's said in the earshot of the disciples. They were intended to hear. Now, that gives us a little cue that Jesus is still doing something to teach his disciples. He's still teaching them something. He's always inviting them in to these moments where he's bringing incrementally more understanding of who he is and what it means to live life in his kingdom. But at this point, you have this fig tree, and it's interesting because this is really one of Jesus' final kind of miraculous things that happens in the Gospel of Mark, and it actually brings a sense of death and judgment rather than life. But I think it's actually a foreshadowing to the temple and its leadership and the fruitlessness that exists there. And Jesus is going to teach his disciples something about this that he explains in just a moment. He moves into the temple, this place that was intended to be a beacon of hope and life and truth for the world to look in and see God and his people. That was his intention. God would dwell among his people. People would worship in the temple. Outsiders would come and observe what's going on in such a way that they could see and understand the beauty of who God is. And Jesus walks in and says, none of this is consistent with what it was intended to be. So there was kind of an abusive, distorted, dishonest practice and habit going on in the temple courts. As a matter of fact, much of what's going on here is actually in the court of Gentiles, which was intended to be the area that outsiders could observe the holiness and righteousness and faithfulness and goodness and mercy and grace of God. And the opposite is happening. And Jesus drives them out. He eradicates the temple, as it were, but not just by driving out those who were abusing its purposes in the presence of the Gentiles, who were intended to be be able to look in and see God's holiness and mercy and faithfulness. But he's also actually beginning to teach his disciples and those around him something about the presence of God among his people. See, an identifying mark of God's people has always been his presence among them. From the very beginning, in creation, and sustained by God's faithfulness, despite our faithlessness. That's always been a defining mark of God's people. But now what's happening is perhaps Jesus is allowing them to start to see something that maybe, just maybe, the presence of God among his people will not be found primarily in a temple, but in a person. In him, King Messiah, Jesus. The temple of God is going to be on the move in the hearts of men and women and children who believe in faith and are made new. There's something about the presence of God in the midst of his people that's going out. And he's purifying the temple, at the same time bringing a sense of foreshadowing judgment on the abuses and sinful practices that were taking place. And in one sense, Jesus is saying to the temple, you will be judged and condemned for your fruitlessness. Remember the fig tree. There's something to be said here about the foreshadowing of the temple, but there's more going on with the fig tree. So the disciples see the fig tree the next day, and Peter goes, whoa, it was just yesterday you said to the fig tree, now it's down to its roots. And Jesus' response is really interesting. It seems a little like, whoa, where'd that come from? Because he starts talking about faith, prayer, and forgiveness. I think perhaps Jesus is allowing his disciples to see that these three things are interwoven into the fabric of a fruitful life in the kingdom of God, where Jesus is inviting his disciples and us to press into, fully press into our dependency upon the Father through the Spirit, having been made new because of his obedience in our place. I think Jesus is actually starting to invite them into something. What if the fruitlessness of the way of life in the temple as it has been? What if the way of the kingdom of God and the life and dependency of the kingdom of God looks far different than you imagined? What if you lived life in such a way that you learned the heart of the Father and his voice through his word and through the Spirit and lived dependent and completely relying upon him, so much so that when you began to pray, you were praying for the things that were on his very heart and he delighted to give them to you? See, here's a passage that is easily manipulated to say, if you believe, whatever you believe, if you believe and pray and ask God for it, and you believe enough, it'll be given for you, to you. And so if you don't get what you pray for, then you just didn't believe enough. And that is a gross abuse of this text. Because I think what Jesus is actually inviting them into is a life of fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. I think he's actually inviting them into greater dependency, and he's actually exposing the power behind and within prayer that actually deals with your heart, the condition of your heart. Why would forgiveness have such a role with prayer? When Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's gospel, it gets passed over so frequently, but realize that at the end of what we often pray as the Lord's Prayer is another challenge from Jesus on forgiving sin, forgiving offenses. Like maybe, just maybe, Jesus goes, do you understand something? The way of life in my kingdom is to be utterly dependent upon the Lord, to throw yourself on the Father, to learn to hear his voice and be obedient to his desires and commands. It's to be filled up and transformed by the Spirit of God, obedient to the Word of God and the voice of the Father, so that you live in such dependency upon me that when you pray, you learn to pray for everything the Father already wants to give, that he delights to give. You're learning to pray consistent with what's in his heart and his will already. And it's in that moment that Jesus is saying to his disciples, you can be confident when you live in full dependency upon the Lord with an uncontaminated heart, meaning it's been made clean by the grace of God. You are not holding on to unforgiveness. There's nothing that is clinging your heart to yourself. You're not bound to selfishness. You're not clinging to bitterness and distrust and unforgiveness. You're releasing yourself to say, God, I love you. I'm following you. I'm fully dependent upon you. I want to hear your voice, and I want you to examine my heart and where unforgiveness exists. Wash me clean and let me live in forgiveness. And when you, Jesus is saying, when you posture your life that way, you open up, in a sense, the beauty of the fullness of the kingdom of God in your life. When Jesus says, hey, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Attached to that, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Those are not detached. It's Jesus' way of saying, hey, what's going on in your heart, that's what matters. And when you pray with a heart fully dependent upon the Father, listening to the Word and the Spirit, being attentive to God's presence and desires, you learn to pray for what God wants, and He delights to give it to you. Well, that might actually make a whole lot of sense then with why the scribes and Pharisees would question His authority, and He would do what? He would do what He's done so well up until this point. He's going to expose their heart. Hey, you're not asking me an honest question. Because if you think about my baptism from John, you'd know. Was it from God? The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit descends like a dove. You know already. You know already. But they're trying to trap and destroy and trick and manipulate Jesus, and He calls out the deception of their heart. And so He says, listen, if you're unwilling to answer what you already know, if you're unwilling to actually admit what's going on in your heart, neither will I answer you. It's interesting, right? Look back when He's in the temple, and the chief priest, in verse 18, the chief priests and the scribes heard it, and they were seeking to destroy Jesus. They're shifting. They're not just inquiring about Jesus. They're not just asking Jesus some trick questions. They're moving toward trying to destroy Jesus. Now, what's fascinating is why? Because they feared Him and all the crowds who are astonished at His teaching. They know. Like, when you look at the entrance of Jesus in the triumphal entry, you get a picture for what I think Jesus actually unpacks in the rest of the chapter. Either rightfully crown me as King of all kings, or utterly reject me. There is no in between. You don't bounce back and forth. I am who I say I am. I am sent from the Father above, the Messiah, the promised one, King of all kings. I speak truth on His authority. I listen to what He says. I don't do anything or say anything that the Father doesn't tell me to do or say. You want life in my kingdom? Open up your heart to the fullness of what God has opened up to you. Do not hold on to unforgiveness. Release yourself to the things that God has for you in and through Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus Christ. Submit to His authority. Follow His way. And in following His way, submitting your life to His authority, opening yourself up to everything He has for you, He says, you don't even know what God has in store for those who participate in life in His kingdom. It will be so that you will pray with such confidence for what God wants that you could say to the mountain, jump into the ocean, and there it goes. You could learn to pray for the things on God's heart in such boldness and courage and faith that you could expect God to do it because it's so consistent with who He is. Now, if you took this passage in isolation, you wrestle with the concept that is often thwarted in it. But if you take this passage with the rest of what Jesus teaches about prayer, along with the rest of Scripture, then you know there are seasons where you know God hears you, you know God listens, and you know sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait, and sometimes God says, yes, I will, delight. That's what Jesus is inviting us into. Life in the kingdom, at its fullest, fruitful life. Fruitful life, according to Jesus, on His terms, is fully dependent upon the Father. Fully dependent upon what God wants and what God is doing and what God desires. Fully believing that the power of God is the presence of God among His people. Fully anticipating every promise God has made about His kingdom will come to bear. And fully believing that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the way to life in that kingdom. So with your life and your heart and your obedience and your desires and your prayer and your forgiveness, what do? You crown Jesus as king and submit your way to his. I think that's the invitation of Mark chapter 11. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. That is abundantly true. I think of this fig tree here teaching a lesson, knowing that even in a few chapters in Mark's gospel, it's going to teach us another lesson about being prepared for the coming kingdom, prepared for the reality of your return. And with Advent coming soon, it's just this wonderful reminder that you are not just a king who has come to set us free, but a king who is coming again. And in the meantime, while we wait, help us to be a people who wait faithfully, who wait forgivingly, who wait expectantly, who wait fully dependent upon you and what you desire, that we might experience the beauty of your kingdom and the joy of what it means to give ourselves fully to you and realize that you are leading toward life everlasting and joy inexpressible. And we will thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I said earlier that today we have a unique opportunity to respond in worship to the beauty of who God is and the fullness of his word and his kingdom revealed in Mark's gospel, and we're thankful for that. And I think today we have the opportunity to respond in worship, the opportunity to lovingly serve others, and the opportunity to grow as disciples in Jesus Christ together. And I know that'll look just slightly different than maybe what you came in expecting, and we're okay with that. Today, we are going to partner with and serve the tangible food and supply needs at Miracle Hill Overcomer Center and Miracle Hill Renewal Center. So Miracle Hill Overcomer Center is the center for men for drug and addiction recovery right around the corner. Many of those men, by God's grace, have come through the doors of Summit during their recovery and transition, and some even beyond that. We're grateful for it. The Miracle Hill Center Renewal Center for Women is the Drug and Addiction Recovery Center for Women, and grateful for the partnership we have with them as well. So here's the deal. When you walk out those doors in just a few seconds, our response in worship today is we're going to go serve. We're going to hand you some lists that are going to look like this right here. And so on the top are some items that Renewal needs, and on the bottom, some items that Overcomers needs. We are shopping at the Walmart Supercenter on Wade Hampton Boulevard. We used to shop at Bilo right here, and then they closed. Just so close. It was so nice. Got to go all the way up to this. It's not very far. It's like 6 minutes from here. The Walmart Supercenter on Wade Hampton, so not the neighborhood market. And don't worry, we called Walmart. We told them we're all coming, so they're going to have two cashiers instead of one. It's going to be amazing in there. But you'll love it. It'll be spectacular. It'll be so fast. Now listen, do not go in there and buy stuff and get all hot and bothered at the Walmart people. That is not the goal of this morning. Like, shop with patience. Shop with forgiveness in your heart. Shop with joy. Unceasing, all right? Like, go in there and be kind and encourage them and others. But you'll have some things on this list. We have trucks that are going to be outside. So Brian Dominey here in the middle is going to have a truck there. There's a truck there already. They're going to have orange cones sitting right on top of those trucks. They're going to be in a fire lane right between the two entrances unless somebody runs us off. They did in the first service. So they did not, I mean, in the first service. So we'll be waiting for you there. Here's the deal. You can go in and buy one item. That is totally fine. You can go in and buy the whole list. It's like items from $2 up to, you buy everything, you probably get out of there for a few hundred bucks. Like, whatever you feel led by the Lord to go and buy, we'd love to have you do that. If you look and say, hey, I don't know if I can do that right now financially, that's okay. Summit agreed to also invest money in this. All four Summit congregations are participating with different partner ministries today and doing similar activity to bless others in our circle. But we have money for you. So if you be willing to just stop by, Brian and Becky will be out there. Becky will have the list. Brian will be out there. And if you say, Brian, I'd love to participate, Brian's going to hand you some money to go shop with, just to participate with us to be a part of this. If you're college age, like, I don't know if we have enough to give all of you a $20 bill. So if you, like, get four or five of you together, we'll send you out with some money to shop together. And if you want to go as a family or groups, feel free. We'd love that. but they're going to be waiting on you. We've already started to fill up trucks and vans. It's been pretty encouraging morning already, and so we're excited to do that. Just know that if there's anything you need as you go, you can call Kip. His phone number is at the bottom of the sheet. The address for the Walmart is on there. You can look for the trucks with the orange cones to drop everything off, and they'll be ready to receive these items. And it really is our desire to let this be an expression of our worship today. So know this as you go. Three things. This really is a response of worship. God is a generous God. We want to live generous to others because he's been generous to us. And so we want to do that with a heart of gratitude and thanks. So as you go today, whatever you can buy, one item or 100 items, do it with a heart of gratitude and thanks to the Lord, and do whatever he tells you to do and enjoy it. Two, we believe this is an act of loving service together. We're called to love the places where God's put us. We don't live here by accident. Acts chapter 17 says God appointed the period of time and the boundary places of our dwelling. That means we're not here on accident. And so we live here, we worship here, and the places around us doing ministry and goodness in the name of the Lord for his sake and proclaiming the gospel, we want to serve them, and we want to do it with no expectation of return. Let's go bless and be a blessing of service to others with no expectation of return. And then last, on our end, this is a moment for intentional equipping, because the real desire is that we would all go, and as we go, we would remember. God gives us opportunities to serve and love those around us every single day if our eyes are open and we're attentive to his presence. And so next time you're at the grocery store or the gas station, next time you have a chance to bless a neighbor or a stranger, next time you have a chance to serve somebody with no expectation of return, just lean in and trust the Lord and see what he does and be obedient to the things he lays on your heart. And know that the real joy in our heart is not just that we do this together today, although it's joyful. It's the moments where God prompts you to do this in your own life and you're obedient to it, and God keeps pressing out the beauty of his kingdom in the world around us. And we join with Jesus in his prayer and in life. Lord, let your will be done on heaven as it is on earth. Let your kingdom come. So we are excited to do this with you. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday at 9 or 11 if you're in town. We'd love to have you come back and join us. And in the meantime, go be a blessing to others. And if we can help you be a blessing, stop by and see Brian and say, hey, I want to help. And he'll pass along a little money to help you shop. So we love you. We're for you. Happy Thanksgiving. See you next Sunday. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.